Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, we have around the Straight Talk table today a soon-to-be recipient of her MBA degree. Katie Monsignor, who is the, Director of Development and Marketing at the Children's Attention Home. And then her boss lady, who's over here as well, Emily Parrish, who is the Executive Director. Hi, guys.
Hi,
how you
there,
doing?
Hi there.
So how does it feel to be on the cusp of receiving your MBA, Katie?
Well, if you were to ask me, what are you going to do next? I'm going to say going to Disney World, because that's the truth. So, it feels fantastic.
So you got what? Another week or so?
Yep. Just about another week.
You've done everything you're supposed to do.
No. No, that's why that week is there.
Forget the Disney World stuff. All the stuff you have to do to get the MBA.
Right. But the end is in sight, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that's what we're focused on right now.
Okay. All right.
And so is my boss, who's also going to be grateful that I don't have the classes anymore. So there you go.
We're very proud of her.
You should be. Good for
we
you.
We are.
All right. So how about some intros? Emily, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. So I am, I've been in Rock Hill long enough to call myself a local, I think.
How long is that? Tell me how long that is.
I'm going to age myself. I think I've been here about 32 years.
Oh, good. Yep. That makes me feel better, because I've been here about 38, and I didn't know whether I had crossed that line.
I think so.
Think we're in?
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I
good.
Think I'm in. But I went to, I got my degree from Winthrop, and I have been here ever since. I started at the Children's Attention Home almost 17 years ago. It'll be 17 years this summer. And I've had a whole bunch of different positions. Most of them have been residential, but I have been serving as the executive director for the last 4 years.
Good for you. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Great career. Okay, Katie, see if you can match that.
So I have been here for 7 years, both in Rock Hill and at the home. This job is what, and family is what brought me back, or brought me here. Originally, I'm from Charleston, but just have been able to grow in the, like, you get caught by the bug, I'm going to say, like, as soon as you come on board, but just over the years, just grow more and more passionate about what we do and realize more and more what our team truly does to help these kids here at the home.
As hard as it is to believe, there are too many people who do not know enough about the Children's Attention Home. So let's do 101. Emily, tell them what the basic job is that you all have.
That is a loaded question, because we do a lot of different things. The home was started 50 years ago to really provide a safe place for children who had been through tough circumstances. And that is still the heart of what we do today. We have two different programs. One is for children who are in the custody of South Carolina DSS for abuse, neglect, or abandonment. We also have a program called the Crossroads Program for children who are currently, for teenagers who are currently experiencing homelessness or are at risk of becoming homeless in the future, unstable housing. And that program is for children 17 to 20. And then our other program serves children from zero all the way up to their 21st birthday.
So how many total kids, young adults, teenagers you have?
So we have capacity for 36 children, and we typically stay close to 30 or so. It just depends on our makeup. It depends on what we've got going on right then. But we stay pretty full, and we do absolutely everything that these kids need it's just like in your own home. We teach independent living, basic life skills, laundry, how to shop for food, how to budget. But we also do all of the regular stuff. We provide meals. We take them to school. We enroll them. We make sure they have doctor's appointments and mental health appointments. It's taking care of kids. We just have a lot of children, and we have children that have come from some pretty rough circumstances and unfortunate circumstances before getting.
And every time I hear this, it just makes me want to reach out and grab their parents by the neck and start squeezing. Why did you bring a child into this world and create this circumstance? It's not their fault. Why are you doing this to them?
Well, I think a lot of these parents just have not had the resources that they need. We are really working on family engagement. We're working on training. We're working on prevention services so that kids don't need the types of services that we're providing for them now. You know, it really is unfortunate, but a lot of times it's a cycle. Child abuse is very much a cycle, and so we're trying to find ways that we can help break that cycle and do better for the children and the families and our community.
So now when you get a child from DSS, that means they're coming from a distressed situation. True, false?
Generally.
All right. Generally. You're being awful political. Good for you. So you, DSS brings you this child. This child's got nothing except heartache. And you're going to take care of them from A to Z. You're going to give them a place to sleep.
Yep.
Give them their meals. You're going to give them an education. All of that stuff.
That's exactly right.
That's a tall order. That's a real tall order. And then what happened to the parents, those parents who really gave up that child, are they back in the picture saying, oh, I want them back, I want them back?
So that's sometimes that is the goal. And it's really, it's hard to speak in, you know, terms that blanket things because every case is so unique. But a lot of times that is the goal for the parents to go through parenting classes or whatever court-ordered treatment they need and then get back with them. But a lot of our kids are also older. So we have a lot of teenagers. We have a lot of kids whose goal will be to be independent. And so we really want to work with them to get jobs, to establish savings, to finish high school. We've got 3 graduates coming up.
Good.
And so we really want to make sure they have the skills so when they leave us, they're able to survive and sustain independently.
So I want either one of you to tell me a success story of somebody who has matriculated through the Children's Attention Home system and now is up on their own and doing good stuff.
The good news is that we have a lot to choose from.
Go for it. You have 17 years of them. I mean, we have a lot of the ones that I know are still at the home and they're just doing really well in terms of where their goals are and, you know, what they're accomplishing, I think what a lot of people don't realize is some of the smaller wins or what people consider smaller wins that are really big steps for our kids. And so, you know, in order to get a job, what most people don't think about is, you know, you have to have your identification. You have to have birth certificate, social security card, papers, government ID. To get that for some of our kids takes months because many of them come in without that identification, one or more of those pieces. And so, especially if they're from out of state but they're in South Carolina DSS care, we're having to get those items for them. So one young man we have right now, I'm going to call him Jay just for purposes of confidentiality. But he came in. He actually came in through our Crossroads program. And he has really, over the course of the time that he's been with us, checked off a lot of those boxes. So he came in and was wanting to get back on track with his education. He wanted to get a job. He wanted to get his driver's permit and license. And so right now he has 2 jobs, if I'm not mistaken. He is going to be on track with his education here at the end of this year. And then he also has gotten that driver's permit and is getting in his hours so he can get his license. And the other day they actually came by my office, which is in a different location from the main campus, and he was with one of our residential counselors, and she was telling me how excited he was because on that day he had been able to go put in the application or all the paperwork for his new job, for his second job. He had been told that he needed to go to the bank to put in some money for his savings and to pull something out that he needed for something he had a cost. I don't remember what it was, but he got to go into the bank and handle it, and he was driving this whole time. So he was beside himself because he was able to do all these things on his own, and this was not something that a year ago he thought was going to be possible. He didn't see how this was going to happen. And so to be a year from where he was to where he is today, and just to see those big milestones checked off for him, and to see it in one day was just... He was beside himself.
That's
he
great.
Was so excited.
And that's what that kind of stuff is what keeps you going.
Right,
when
exactly.
We do good work. All right, now your job, Katie, is development and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So explain a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so my job is to come out and talk with folks like you, Manning, and let you know what it is that's going on at the home and really let people know how they can help. And so there's a lot of ways that we do that. There's a lot of ways people can plug in, find out more about what we're doing, and get involved. So we have tours that we offer weekly, and one of those we're actually doing an open house this Friday from 9 to 1 where people can come and see what we do in person. And so instead of it just being something you hear about on the radio or something you see on TV or see on the website, come in and see what's happening and talk to us and just learn a little more, get your questions answered, you know. We have speakers, so we can come out and speak to people in the group, so whether it's a Sunday school class or a civic club or just really any group, we can come out and share more about specific information they're interested in. And then we have a lot of ways to like tangibly get involved, whether that's financially supporting the home, providing items that we need from our wish list, or volunteering their time. There's the community is what makes the work that we do possible, and that's been the case since day one. Right around half of our budget every year comes from community donations, private grants, corporate support. We literally could not do the work that we do at the level that we do without the community's support. Like I said, lots of ways to get involved. And so my role is to be that voice that's out in the community, sharing with people what that is so that we can connect and they can be part of this with us.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about these numbers. So your budget in round numbers is roughly what?
$2.5 million.
$2.5 million, and you're raising about half of that from the community.
Yep.
That's pretty strong. Very good. Good for you. And basically all this is going right back in to doing what you do with all these kids.
Yes.
You got 30 kids,
absolutely.
30 mouths you got to feed.
That's right.
30
yes.
sets of clothes. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So the state of South Carolina is basically reimbursing the other half through DSS?
So about 35% of that comes from DSS. Another 15% comes from federal grants that we work to qualify for and get reimbursed for some of the expenses that we have.
Oh, great. All right, well, that's I'm impressed with that. That's very good. But you could always use more, correct?
Always.
Yes. We're incredibly reliant on our community because the reimbursements are not enough. The funding that's out there is not enough because these kids, their needs are significant.
And I think, too, you know, as we continue to do more and to improve the quality of care that we're able to give these kids, especially with all of our kids pretty much being older, so most of them, I think all of them right now are 13 and older. So we have a lot of youth that are in that transitional phase. So it's a lot of driving time. It's a lot more food. It's bigger clothes. It's all of these things that add expense in addition to just training our team to make sure that they're ready to meet the needs of these kids. So whether they come in and they need a different type of coping skill or a different approach in how we work with them on a day-to-day basis, that training costs a substantial amount in time and just investment in a program for us to do. And so the community is where that extra funding is coming from because it's not coming from the government at this point. The community is what's allowing us to continue to expand, and those private grants, those private donations is what makes that increased quality of care possible.
So what is the average stay of a person at Children's Detention Home?
So it's about 4 months. That number, though, really just depends on the kid and their circumstance. Again, like Katie is saying, we have a lot of older children, and so some of those children come in with very specific goals. Their plan may be to live independently when they leave us, and so they may want to get a GED or finish high school or learn to drive or save up a certain amount of money so that they have, you know, first and last month's rent and deposits and things like that. So it really depends on the child, but that's about average. And so we know when the kids come in, you know, we have a pretty stringent timetable to start working on stuff because, you know, our goal is to help improve their lives as quickly as we can.
So, how much can you actually accomplish if you only have them for 4 months? I mean,
more
4 months
you
is
probably
a...
think.
We have a very involved team. We're a very busy team, and it's, I mean, we hit the ground running because it's important that we're making a difference in whatever time it is that we have with these kids. And some of them don't stay that long. And so, you know, if we've got a child that's going to be with us a couple of weeks or a month, then we really try to look at priorities and figure out what we can do to help make sure that child at least has some kind of a safety net before they leave us.
So what would cause the child to leave in such a short time? DSS calling them back, or
there's a number of different reasons. One of them being that a priority for DSS is what's called kinship care, meaning they're being placed with another family member, a close family friend, somebody that they already had that strong connection with. So while that's getting set up, they may be placed with us temporarily. And so while they're with us, we can make sure that they're getting their medical, their physicals done, dental work done, getting them set up with a mental health protocol. So we know a baseline, and we can give that to whoever's going to take care of them next. We can give them that baseline of what they need, as opposed to them starting from scratch when they walk into their next placement. Or their next home, rather. So that's one of the things. Another one may be that the child is literally going to age out soon. So we had a young lady come in who was 20. Mm-hmm. She was like 2 months from her 21st right. birthday. So we had, I think it was 6 weeks to get her where she, and she had a child, and so it was getting her a job, getting her housing, getting her transportation, getting her identification, all in 6 weeks.
Yep.
and you know, set up with the medical care that she needs for her and her child, because again, we want to make sure that when they're coming in, you know, they come in right here, every child should leave better than they started. They should never walk away with less than what they came in with in terms of the care and the services they're receiving. And the best part about that is, too, once they've stayed with us, then we have that connection and we can follow up with them.
Absolutely.
And so, especially now that we have older youth, it's a little bit easier for us to maintain contact. So if they need something in the future, they can reach back out to us.
So that is something that regularly happens as a follow-up?
Yes.
You'll call them or they call you just to see how things are going?
A lot of times they'll reach out to us, but if they're not reaching out to us, then we're reaching out to them.
So if you sense that something is not the way it should be?
If they're in the care of DSS, then we can report that. We can make that known. We can check in with them to see what it is that we can do to help. At some point, though, ultimately, they're in a place where they have to make a decision, or they have to take the steps to get the help they need, but we're always here to provide that help when they're ready for it.
So you are the bridge to foster care, basically.
We are a part of foster care.
We're
in that network, along with foster families, with agencies that support foster families, with DSS. I mean, we're in that network of making sure that these kids have that safety net and those resources.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com is where you can find out more information. And, of course, we hang out here at Substation 2 with everybody else in Rock Hill, I think. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. The magical formula that keeps bringing people back all the time is 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
You know us, you love us, and if you want us to keep doing the job the way we've always done it, then we need your help. Substation 2 has immediate openings suitable for all ages and skill levels. We offer great pay, great perks, and a fun place to work. Apply inside or online. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
You know us, you love us, and if you want us to keep doing the job the way we've always done it, then we need your help. Substation 2 has immediate openings suitable for all ages and skill levels. We offer great pay, great perks, and a fun place to work. Apply inside or online. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Children's Attention Home is our topic today. Emily Parrish, the head honcho at the Children's Attention Home. And her soon-to-be walking down the aisle, picking up her MBA, is Katie Motziger, who's the Development Director and Head of Marketing. Yep. Good for you. Are we all going to be there?
The ceremony is in North Dakota, so I'm not going to make it.
Yes, absolutely. There.
You did this online.
I did do it online.
Woo! Good for you. Okay. So, needless to say, the last couple of years have been a challenge, Emily.
Yes, that is a word for it.
COVID, post-COVID.
You know, it's definitely, I think COVID played a role in it. It's been hard on our kids. You know, when the world shut down, our kids were already shut down, and so they didn't have in-person visits. They couldn't see their caseworker, their families. They couldn't, you know, go off campus for school or for work, or even appointments. You know, I mean, you take for granted, I think, a lot of the little things that these kids especially need, that build their routines, that get them settled into a new environment. And so that part was really challenging for our kids especially.
What do you do for fun with these kids when they're done with all the
things? We have, especially during COVID, we got super creative. So we had some wonderful folks and water slides to campus, and we had field days and things like that. But they're kids, and now they're teenagers. So they're also, their moods can change and their preferences can change awful quick. But we work really hard to make sure that our kids are experiencing all the same things as kids, other kids would, you know. So they like to go to ball games, they go to the parks, we've done Kierwin's amusement park a few times now that it's back open. In fact, just over spring break, we had day trips for each one of our cottages where they went down to the beach for the day and just hung out. And I think they had some good food while they were down there. That was important to them. So,
always.
Going out to eat is a really big deal, especially now that our kids are a little older. They enjoy that activity, eating out.
Something other than a hot dog, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can only default to a hot dog night so many times.
So I want to talk a little bit more about this open house, which is this Friday?
Yes, right. This Friday.
Now, just take me from the beginning. What's going to be happening at this thing?
So it's really a drop-in. It's an opportunity for people to come, like I said, and see our mission in action, to see the work we do on a daily basis, experience the spaces that our kids live in and receive help and care, where as volunteers they may be able to come in and serve. But it's an opportunity to get to know the home, to get to know our team. Many of our teammates will be there that they can ask questions. So whether it's our social workers or some of our residential counselors or any of our program staff, they'll have an opportunity to just get to know us, and we get to know them. You know this as well as anybody, that it's all built on relationships.
Okay.
Relationships are so critical to the work that we do, whether it's with our kids, whether it's with our team, and with the community. Relationships are the basis for the work that we do at a very core level. And so this gives us the opportunity to really get to be in person with people, which we're all grateful for again, and just one-on-one or in small groups, have those conversations and get to know people. We'll have light refreshments and, you know, just fun food, I guess. That's a horrible way, but it's we'll have food. So, you know, you won't go hungry. But just making sure, you know, that people feel welcome. We want to welcome people to our home. And so that's
it's Friday from when to when?
From 9 to 1. From 9 to 1. And the information's on our website and on our Facebook page. So people can RSVP there. We do ask that you RSVP. That's how you're going to get the address to come. And so that when you sign up, then you'll get the confirmation for that.
And your facility is interesting. I mean, it's... I've been there.
Yep.
Won't say where it is, but it is an old what that you have made into what it is now.
So these cottages were actually built for the homes.
Oh, they were.
Yep.
Okay.
In 2004 was when we first opened on this campus, and it was a big capital campaign that raised the money, and the land was donated so that we could put these cottages on one location, tucked away, you know, so we're not out and about for everybody to come and go, but really just, and a lot of the kids will tell you that it's a peaceful environment to be in.
Oh, it is. Like,
yeah,
it is.
So we have the three cottages. The first two were built. The last one was built a couple years after that in 2006, and then the administrative building where a lot of, like, our dining room and classrooms and places where we can provide more services for the kids was built a couple years after that.
Space-wise, you okay? Do you need more space?
You always need more space. You know, our kids are growing. Our kids' needs are growing. And so we are definitely looking towards the future and figuring out what that need looks like. We spent the last 2 years really finding ways to expand our programs, just like Katie said, to make sure that we're meeting all of the needs, that we're providing the best quality care. And so with that comes allowing the kids a little bit more space, because the kids share bedrooms, and so we want to be able to make accommodations if a child needs their own room, or like Katie mentioned, the mom and baby. So there are certain things where we are very intentional about making plans for the future that allows our kids more space.
Yes. And one of those in particular that we're working on right now is our kitchen. So we got a generous grant from the Lutz Foundation down in Chester, which is allowing us to totally renovate our kitchen area, which, you know, feeds up to 30 plus people. And so it's a very well used space, that needs a little bit of love. And so during that time, it'll be over the next couple of weeks, we really could use help with meals, because we're out of a kitchen. And so, making sure that we can feed everybody and do it and not break our budget, any assistance there from folks would be hugely helpful, and all that's on our website and Facebook as well.
Good. Now, as you mentioned, you've got lots and lots of supporters, but you've got some corporate sponsors that really are helping to toe the line here.
Yeah, so we just had our Heart of the Home fundraiser a couple of weeks ago, and it always touches me. You know, I get to be the person who works with a lot of these folks to connect them with support, and so it's a joy for me to be able to work with them. But even two of the ones you mentioned, Founders and Anderson Griggs, have been longtime supporters of the home, in addition to sponsoring Straight Talk. And so there's a lot of community folks that really make our work possible. Comporium has been an annual partner of ours for years. Bojangles has been a huge sponsor. Recently, Planet Fitness came on board as one of our platinum partners, and Falfurrias Capital Partners. There's a host of folks that just really support us in big ways to make our work possible. And so, you know, there's also service partners. So there's people like NUSA Pest Control. They come and do all of our pest control services.
Oh, yeah.
So there's lots of ways that people show their support and are part of our mission. And I think that's the piece that is so important for people to understand is, you know, financially people are giving, and you're making all the things we're talking about right now happen. Yeah. Like, it takes dollars to do this, and people support, community support, corporate support, you know, is making this work possible. You're changing lives.
Ladies, you've done a great job. Emily, thank you. Katie,
thank you.
Congratulations, by the way, on that big MBA, huh? All right. I want to see the mortar bar.
I'll send you a picture.
Send me a picture. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk. By the way, very quickly, website is what?
Attentionhome.org.
Attentionhome.org. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right. Fresh subs and salads, 6 days a week here at Substation 2. Everybody in Rock Hill is in here today. Dr. Scott Oliver is here to lead us in the chant. Are we all ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.